This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I love you. I love you.
They call them trolls or whatever, people that just sit behind a computer in their mom's basement.
You idiot.
It was a joke.
Hold on. Let me put my wooden teeth in so you can understand me better.
And we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same things.
Shall I call you Ron, Dr. Dick? What should we go with here?
You can call me Ron.
Bob, you know what time it is.
I know what time it is.
You and I are at the train station, and the Limited Express is about to leave. So
limitless.
He's calling it limited.
He's trying to put limits on me, Bob.
So we better hop on board. Limits, the floor is yours.
All right, here we go. The Limitless Express begins with the Steelers creating a new partnership with a soccer club, Bob. Did you see this?
Mm-hmm.
It is Borussia Dortmund.
I think I got that right.
They're a soccer club in Germany. Their colors are also black and gold. So the Steelers and BVB have announced a partnership, according to the Steelers social sites, that will further both clubs' efforts in each other's markets through joint team activities, content, and fan engagement initiatives. And this soccer club also played a game at Akershire Stadium back in 2018.
Yeah, I think the Steelers are really trying to go out and take their brand, which is popular in Mexico. It certainly is popular in Ireland. They're trying to move it around, and I give them credit for that. There's a market out there internationally. They're trying to, you know, team up with teams that they have relationships with, know about, and I think that has a lot to do with the fact that you can get some of those soccer clubs come here in Pittsburgh, play friendlies, exhibitions, whatever you want to play. So I give them credit for that. I find it interesting.
I don't care.
Okay.
Next.
By the way, you need to go to a Riverhounds game.
I do.
They're good.
And I also want you and I to try to score on penalty kicks on
you,
the Riverhounds
goalie. I told
goalie.
You. Eric Dick is ready to go. He's their goaltender. He can do it. He'll take you on one-on-one. You won't score.
Who?
If you do, his name is Eric Dick. He's their best goal. He was the...
Is he related to Dr. Dick?
Nah.
Is he related to Dr. Ronald Dick?
He last year was the goaltender of the year.
Oh, I know
USL.
He might be, Bob.
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Well, let's do that, shall we?
I've been telling you it's available, but you never give me a date.
Tomorrow.
That's not available.
See?
Why would tomorrow be a possibility during the home opener? We're all down there.
I didn't know it was, the Pirates home
yes.
opener. Yeah, I thought you meant the Riverhounds.
No, they played two games at home now.
Bob and I could get up early in the morning and take penalty kicks on goalkeeper Dick.
Do you want to be a part of this, Bob?
I don't know. I'll be there to describe it.
Ooh.
That's all I'll
You'll
do.
Call it.
I'll call
I like
it.
That a lot. Let's do that, Bob.
Okay.
All right, Limits. Next, may I add one in here, Limits?
I will add one that I think you're going to add.
Thank you. Jordan
Schultz of Fox is reporting that the Steelers were one of a few teams that were interested in trading for Patriots quarterback Joe Milton, who ultimately ended up being traded along with a 7th-round pick to the Cowboys today in exchange for a 5th. Joe.
This is interesting to me. I mean, he made a cameo appearance late in the season and was really good in sort of a nothing game. It sort of reminds me of Rob Johnson, if you remember him from the Bills. He did that one year in a nothing game, and that's what prompted the Bills to bench Doug Flutie for what became a famous or infamous playoff game against the Titans, where they lost on the Music City Miracle. But that's beside the point, Bob. The point is, you never know from a game like that what you have. At the same time, Milton is somewhat intriguing to me. How about you?
He's intriguing to me for sure. You know, they could have made that because they certainly need more people in their quarterback room if they wanted to. I wonder what this does to Trey Lance. He's another guy who's sitting around and never gets an opportunity and probably doesn't deserve one. But that's another very talented kid who was drafted way too soon. He hadn't done enough in college, and San Francisco went after him, third overall pick, I think it was. So he's still looking for a chance. I don't know enough about Joe Milton. I like him, but I don't know if he's an answer for anything here.
I mean, I'm not so sure. I wouldn't have rather taken a swing at the unknown in Joe Milton than the known in Mason Rudolph. I'll be honest with you about that, because I can see Mason going, 9-8 or 8-9 if he's the guy. You take a bigger swing with a Milton and see what you got, and if you swing and miss, then you go 4-13, and that might be the best thing.
Well, the bottom line is it's an incomplete quarterback room, and it has to get figured out here. So this is
You don't think it's a foregone conclusion at this point?
I do, but I also don't trust him.
Why isn't he announcing it, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, everyone wants to think about McAfee and all that. How about if it doesn't happen on McAfee?
Then we got a story, right?
Right. Then what? How long does it go? The draft is just 2 weeks away, a week and a half, whatever it is.
Then we have a story, Bob, if that is not announced by the end of that McAfee.
But I don't think Art Rooney would say that if he didn't know that something was very close, if not done. So I believe he'll be here, and it's whatever the case. I've heard some people nationally say he's still holding out hope for Minnesota. I don't know what that means. I don't know, They've pretty much made their choice. They said they're going to, J.J. McCarthy is their guy. But they do need some veteran help, given how loaded their roster is and how far they came last year, right? I would think that they want to have insulation there in case McCarthy struggles.
Well, then there's this nugget, and I'm sorry to interrupt the Limitless Express. May I add this, Limits?
Go right ahead and add.
Mike Florio, on his podcast, Pro Football Talk, says that a high-level person with a team says that Rodgers doesn't really want to play for the Steelers and he's waiting for Minnesota. You buying what Florio's selling here or what that person is selling, Bob?
I don't know. I don't know if I believe that or not. Again, this is the problem when you're waiting like this. You have different things that crop into your head, right? What are you supposed to think about this? Hopefully it resolves itself quicker. I want to have it done before the draft, so we don't have to talk about this in the draft.
I know. It's the part about why is he waiting, while it remains a curiosity, I don't know what to say anymore. I really don't. I think it's so he can make a grand announcement on the McAfee show. Listen, if he was going to make an announcement there, McAfee wouldn't tell you, would he?
No.
So he's poo-pooed it, right. But that doesn't mean anything.
No, I mean, he wants to have it as a surprise, and there's no reason letting it out if that's going to be the surprise. I don't know how many people are going to be surprised. If it happens, then people will kind of think it's fait accompli.
Limits, may I add one more little treat that I wish you had already gotten?
Yes, even though
yet.
I've only proposed one treat.
No, he has treats. I'm sorry. Ben, Big Ben on his podcast, said the Steelers will regret getting rid of Dan Moore Jr. How do we feel about that?
I think that's just Ben looking up for a guy that he formerly played for and probably likes.
I'm not so sure Dan Moore isn't better than Broderick Jones on the left side, to be honest with you. And I know Ben's been high on Dan Moore since the beginning.
Yes, but, I mean, $82 million, if that's what's going to take, that wasn't going to work here. So I would immediately discount that because you got to trust your number one picks. They have two of them. First-round picks, back-to-back years on tackles. That tells you where they believe they need to be. Now it's up to them to do it.
They better be right. I'll say that much.
Right, especially with a guy like Rodgers who won't be able to get out of the way of any of it.
The number one thing I think about when I picture Aaron Rodgers on this team is Broderick Jones protecting or trying to protect his blind side. That's literally the first thing that comes to mind. The first thing that could ruin it. other than Rodgers himself not being good anymore.
No, protection is going to be the number one thing. The offensive line has got to be much better consistently than it was last year, and if it is, they have a chance because he still can throw the football. He still has the acumen to go down the field, make the reads, do the things necessary to be a successful quarterback, I think.
Acumen's a wonderful word, Bob.
Thank you very much, Joe.
Great word, Bob.
Sorry to interrupt. Please continue.
The Cleveland Browns have the lowest projected win total, according to Vegas, at 4.5 wins, Joe. Is Vegas not respecting Kenny Pickett and the Browns?
No. I actually think the Browns will go above that. Listen, we never got to Jimmy Haslam finally
openly admitting
that they swung and missed. Now, I wish he had gone further and said he won't be on the roster this year.
I think that's intimated, wasn't it?
Well, I hope. It's the Browns. I would hope it's intimated.
How do you endorse a quarterback who you just said, I swung and missed big time on you, pal. You can take your money and run, but you're not playing again.
I think that is going to just lift a cloud from that entire organization. I really do. And I think it's still a somewhat talented roster. They've got the second pick in the draft. Can you imagine Abdul Carter with Myles Garrett? Now, Kenny Pickett or whoever they have at quarterback to start the season, yeah, that's going to be an issue. I agree. But 4.5 wins, I'm going to go over right now.
I'm going to go over. I just think the way the NFL is set up, you're going to have your wins. And their defense should still be good enough to win some games without some offense. So.
Who are the two players who have beaten the Steelers in Cleveland the past 2 years? The two quarterbacks.
Can you guys Dorian Thompson Robinson
and Jameis Winston.
Very good. Next.
All right.
Think about that. By the way,
no, that's not good.
Pitt head coach Pat Narduzzi said earlier today that our friend Doug Whaley is serving as the Pitt football general manager. And Narduzzi saying that Whaley has been in place, this has been in place with Whaley for a couple of years now. What do you make of that?
Wait,
a couple of years now.
Wait, what? Doug Whaley's been their GM for a couple of years?
This is what my buddy Nathan Breisinger,
doesn't
I went to Baldwin
with the UFL?
Tweeted from Pittsburgh Sports Now.
I didn't know that.
He's been their secret GM? I don't understand. That never got out?
No.
I've never heard that.
I don't know what to make of that. You could have knocked me over with a feather there. What is happening?
That's why I brought it up. Like,
did they even have GMs a few years ago in college?
No. So was he just in place as an advisor?
I don't know.
And now it's like official?
I'm speechless, Bob. I don't know what to say about it.
Yeah, that's all news to me, so I'm not sure.
I'm scared.
We'll have to get Doug's opinion on Wednesday with the morning show.
I mean, if he is, great. Doug's a very sharp guy. I just wasn't aware of any of this. Next.
Here's a little bit more information from Amanda Godsey. Whaley was hired by the school's NIL collective, Alliance 412, as senior advisor of player administration in September of 2023, but it's unclear exactly when he was named Pitt football's general manager. It's a little bit more added context. You're quite welcome. Four Steelers have pre-draft visits to the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex today, including Pitt tight end Gavin Bartholomew, but mainly Texas wide receiver Matthew Golden is one of 30 players to visit the Steelers so far in this draft cycle. Would you be interested in Golden at wide receiver? And a bigger question, would you be more interested in a wide receiver than a defensive lineman in the first round, Joe?
No. I'd be more interested in a defensive lineman, but most interested in Jackson Dart because, as I've said a million times here, the Steelers have many needs, but they really have one, a franchise quarterback. But
he may not be in a position to be taken, so if that's the case, then what would you do? I still think I agree with you. Defensive line.
Defensive
they just need
line.
Numbers there.
Unless,
they need people.
Unless Genty's available, Bob, then I would take him. Would you?
No.
Why?
I think my needs are greater at defensive line and wide receiver than they are. I think I could find, you won't find Ashton Genty, that kind of player, but you will find somebody who can do it on a collective basis with Jalen Warren. That's how I would look at that.
And they still need a running back they could pick in the third or fourth round.
Sure.
To be able to pair and go with Warren.
Next.
All right. One of the last ones for you, Joe, and you're not going to be happy about it.
All right.
The Pittsburgh Sports Media Tournament Bracket.
Oh,
is
no.
Down to the final four. And we were on a collision course for a Bob Pompeiani, Joe Starkey matchup in the final four.
Oh, we're going to get that.
Potash got me.
That
did
we
he?
Will
that
not
right?
get. Dan Potash, 54.8% of the voting in 1,768 votes. Final defeats Joe Starkey's run as a 5 seed. The 15 seed, Dan Potash, goes to the Final Four to play Bob Pompeiani.
And I wasn't aware.
Hey, Dan's a...
I knew. I told you from day one he was underseeded, didn't I?
Yeah.
What's the other part of that then?
Bob is running away with it.
Who's playing in the other matchup?
It is Madden against Hillgrove in the other matchup.
Wow.
And Bill Hillgrove is running away with it.
How about Billy Hillgrove coming out of nowhere here,
he's
Bob?
He's put in a lot of time.
He defeated Pony in the first round.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of people.
He's playing well.
There are
a
lot of people who still, idolize Bill Hillgrove. And so I'm not surprised all that.
Well, it's going to be you against him.
And
in the
I'll
final.
Lose. I'll lose.
I don't know about that.
I'll lose.
Have you met him in the final before? You're the 3-time defending champion.
I don't remember any of that. I don't know.
How about this disparity in votes? The Bob Potash matchup only has 332 votes. The other matchup has over 2,000 votes so far. How does that happen? Who is stuffing the ballot box for Bill Hillgrove at 80% right now?
I don't know. I wish they stuffed it for me. I really do. I never mentioned it on the air. I meant to bump up that matchup. I wasn't aware it was already over, and Potash upsets me.
Yeah, but that's a formidable opponent for sure.
And a nice man. I shake his hand and I move on. I made the Elite Eight.
And that's good.
And I beat Crowley. Lose to Crowley, I never get over it. But I did beat him. Thank you, Limits. That was wonderful.
Thank you. I appreciate you letting me indulge you with these questions.
Bob, about 3 more weeks until the NFL draft. We haven't talked a lot about this. Bruce Feldman, who I happen to believe is the best mock drafter in America because he talks to tons of people, scouts, pro coaches, college coaches, coordinators of all kinds. He released his mock draft over at The Athletic today. Yes, he gave me the Belfont snorkel when I tried to get him on the air, but I don't care about that now. You and I are going to talk some NFL draft, not just the Steelers. There's some really intriguing stories near the top of the draft, including, I think, one of the greatest, like, natural athlete types at the top of this draft that there's ever been, and he might go 4th. Let's talk about all that coming up next. Plus, I think you'll be very interested in who Bruce has the Steelers taking at number 21.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm depressed, Bob.
You know you're not. You're
yes,
not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not. You're going to hear golf balls later.
I overdosed on coffee and it's all come crashing down. I had it licked for a good 6 months there.
What's an overdose of coffee for you represent?
3 giant cups on an empty stomach. That's why
I haven't
was so
eaten
hyped.
Yet. I'm trying to encourage more fasting as I go through life. I don't know what that means, but I haven't eaten since last night at 10 o'clock, and that wasn't even anything big, but I had some fruit. Is that good?
That's a fruit. What kind of fruit?
Well, my wife, every time I go into television, she gives me at KDK, she gives me some kind of fruit, whether it's blueberries, raspberries, peaches, anything. I really like fruit, but that's it. So that's how many hours now are we talking about? That's 10, 12, 14
Is that why
hours.
You were combative with Tyler earlier?
I wasn't
you
combative. Were, your description is not accurate.
Limits thought you were.
He agrees with you every single time.
No, I don't, Bob. I take your side a lot.
Not on this one, and I think Bob may be hangry this morning.
I'm not.
We rag on Joe a decent amount on this show, I'd like to say.
I just feel like it's actually good. You know, I've read about this fasting stuff. Now, I'm drinking coffee. Does that count?
No. Not as far as I'm concerned. They have this coffee with butter in it. Have you heard of this?
No.
Go ahead.
That doesn't
I'm sorry.
Sound good.
No.
No, I want to see what – and listen, the longer you go, I drink a lot of water. I think that's good. I think I'm not –
Don't you feel hungry?
No, I don't feel hungry right now. You ate a whole bowl of rigatoni's in front of me, and I didn't feel the urge to come over and jump into your bowl.
I offered you some.
I know,
didn't I?
But I didn't want to. I said no. Thank you.
So when are you going to eat?
Probably when I go home before I go into KDK TV.
That's impressive in some ways, and in other ways, it seems unhealthy. Limits?
I'm very unhealthy when it comes to this. Like, it was better in college when I'd have like a class and I'd go to lunch and then I'd go to dinner. Now I eat like one meal And the days where like Slice isn't here, we love Slice, or there's nothing else food wise that is here. Sometimes I go a lot of the day and don't eat until like 4 or 5 o'clock, which is very bad for me.
It is. You need a healthy breakfast.
Yeah, I do.
See, I've never been a breakfast eater ever. Mm. And I know people say that's the most important meal of the day, perhaps. I mean, that I don't know if that's true or not. A lot of people believe it. I do not eat. If I eat anything, it's just some, you know, Fig Newton, a sausage biscuit, when I'm, and that's about it. I don't. Is that bad?
No, not necessarily.
You're looking at me like I'm bad.
No, I wasn't.
Yes, you were.
Is Moon Golf Club open today?
I'm sure it is.
I'd like to play.
I don't think you should go. It's too wet. We had a lot of rain last night. By the way, the wind was really howling. I don't know what your place.
My dog freaked out last night because of the thunder and lightning. Just completely lost his mind. He was shaking like a leaf in the basement. Poor little Bailey.
Oh, Bailey.
Bob, we have an NFL draft to look at. We haven't done much on it. And I'm curious about some of the bigger stories with the Steelers. And as I've mentioned a couple times today, Bruce Feldman from The Athletic. He's covered everything for a long time. He's the guy with the George Pickens draft who had those coaches and scouts quoted as saying, I'm not going near this guy. He's been enabled his whole life, and you're going to get more of it in the NFL. I think we have gotten more of it, along with the talent, for sure. Maybe the story's still to be told on him, but the point is that Feldman goes out and talks to people. So with each one of his mock draft picks, he's got coordinators, coaches, scouts. I'll give you an example. He's got Cam Ward going to Tennessee with the first pick. I know guys at Miami, they love that kid. They love him, one ACC coordinator said. He's an alpha, great leader, competitive. That usually works well in the NFL. So another defensive coordinator says from the ACC, a lot of his throws are backyard football stuff. We tried to force him to play more in the pocket. He was so frustrating to play against because he can extend plays. That's what you get with him, good and bad on all these guys. And I love that. And you're pointing to the television with Jackson Dart up there. And Dan Orlovsky's on the McAfee show. He loves Jackson Dart.
Yes, he does.
But I just wanted to set this up, Bob, and Limits, by giving the Bruce Feldman credentials. He did an awesome book, too, on the proliferation of quarterback training from when these kids are practically zygotes now. They train to be quarterbacks, you know? The making of a quarterback is basically
much different than it was 25 years ago.
So let's do it here. Would you guys, if you had the number one pick, like the Titans do in this draft, take Cam Ward, take somebody else, or trade back, Bob?
I would take Cam Ward. I like Cam Ward. I think the potential there for big things is he shows that when he plays. He's been able to come back from big deficits by using his arm and his smarts. I think of all the quarterbacks, he's the one that I would choose. And I would be surprised if they don't do it.
I would do that too. But I would be a little bit reluctant. There's another coordinator from the Pac-12 who faced Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix, and Bo Nix and thought that Ward was just as competitive but not as polished. In fact, I don't know if I would take him. I'd be very
leery.
What
do you do if you're Tennessee, though?
I don't know.
I mean, you may never get a pick like this again.
You trade back, or let's just get to the elephant in the room here. One of the greatest prospects in NFL history is on this board, and he's going fourth on everybody's mock draft. Are you kidding me? Travis Hunter is one of the greatest prospects there's ever been, and he's going to go fourth? If I'm the Titans, I might take him or trade back and try and get him if someone wants to move in.
I understand why you'd say that, because he is a dual threat. He can play offense and defense. If whatever team drafts him, I'm sure they're going to want him to do both. But I think in the NFL, if you do both, you can hurt both. You may not be as good in one because you're concentrating too much on the other. If
he's he's going to be an elite shutdown corner, and then I would say a situational receiver. I think I would take him.
The best thing you can have in a pro football team is a quarterback.
Yeah.
If you're number one overall and you pass on somebody who turns out to be that guy.
I know.
And you take somebody else, you're going to end up regretting that because you may never get to be same position.
I'm not sure enough, and you can never be 100% sure. I'm not sure enough that he's that guy. I think if someone wants to move up, I may move back or I might take Hunter. What would you do, Limits?
I think that Hunter, and it's like splitting hairs for me, him and Abdul Carter are the two best players in the draft for me. Like, if we're not talking about importance of quarterbacks, we're just talking overall athletes. If I had to put it on a big board, 1 through 50, those would be the top two for me over Cam Ward. Now, since Tennessee is so quarterback needy, I think you have to take Cam Ward just to be able to have the chance of being able to get your guy at the top of the draft.
Wait, isn't that the Kenny Pickett plan?
No, 22 versus number one overall
but
is different.
Still, you're different. But no, the rationale's the same. You're only doing that, essentially, you're saying, because you're, quote, quarterback needy.
Well, I do think that Ward is a better prospect than Pickett was coming out.
So do I. And so does everybody. Traits. Yes. But would you take him if you weren't that needy at quarterback? If you felt like you could get by?
No, and, that's why a team like, well, Cleveland, you can make an argument, can use a quarterback, but if they're not, they could go for Carter or Giants. You know, do they have a quarterback? Yeah, they have Russell Wilson. They have a bunch of people there. Danny DeVito, Tommy DeVito, and every DeVito. But the point is, if you get a franchise type of quarterback, Russell Wilson's a one-year guy. If you're the Giants, you need somebody. And if you pass on that somebody and that somebody turns out to be somebody good, and you're going to say, what am I doing?
Cleve Brownie's at number two. Feldman has them taking Abdul Carter. It's hard to argue with that. It would be frightening to pair him with Myles Garrett. But again, to have an electric performer like Travis Hunter, I'd almost rather have somebody on the back end to pair with Garrett. Then you have the pass rush and the shutdown guy.
I'd
go Hunter there.
As much as I respect Abdul Carter, I think that guy in Cleveland would be a better fit.
Limits is going to go Carter because Limits is a Penn State guy.
Well, Abdul Carter, that would annoy the hell out of me if he ends up going to the Browns and ends up chasing down Aaron Rodgers or 2026 Steelers quarterback for the next 10 years.
Yeah,
because,
I hear you.
You know, the thing about Carter for me is, like, I knew he was such a good player at Penn State, but he was the type of guy like T.J. Watt you expected to make a play, like, every single time out there on the field, where you kind of took him for granted. I feel like we kind of take T.J. Watt for granted a little bit, too, where once you put it on a national perspective, his talent and his ability to get off at the line is just so immense, where, again, for me, it's like splitting hairs between him and Hunter. I would honestly probably go Hunter over him by a step just because you have the two-way threat.
One coach says that Carter reminds him of Von Miller. See, I don't think the Browns can go wrong here, but they're the Browns, so they might go wrong with something that they do.
They do have 10 picks this year. Now, they've made up for some of the stuff that, you know, they gave up so much in Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
When you look at all the three number ones, all the things they've done to ruin their franchise, it's not just the money, it's what they gave up to get him, and they got nothing out of him. So now they have 10 picks. They could be somewhat flexible here and maybe be creative, and we'll see what it takes them.
All right, so if they pass on Shedeur Sanders, Feldman has him going to the Giants. What do you make of that?
Well, Russell Wilson will be there to help him along or not. We'll see how that works. But I believe that'll. If you need a quarterback in New York.
The gist he's getting from
coaches.
You have
Jameis Winston,
yeah,
and
right.
You have him.
Right. The gist he's getting from coaches and defensive coordinators is that Sanders is very accurate and very smart, but that he takes too many sacks. He always thinks he can make a play, and he's not an elite athlete. He's a smart one. He's got like a 4.8 40, something like that. He's not a guy who's going to run around and make crazy plays. That's not to say he can't move. He can. I'm not sure enough that he's the guy that I would take him there.
I honestly don't think this draft is very good for quarterbacks. I don't. Once you get through the top three guys we're talking about, and they may be all iffy, then you don't know, you know, then you got a bunch of guys who could be projects. It takes a while.
I'm taking Hunter there if I'm the Giants.
They could use him, but I think Cleveland has a better spot for Hunter.
Twinning streak?
Whatever Travis Hunter's 40 time is, I'm running faster to the podium to submit the ticket to be able to draft him.
All right. Some other interesting little tidbits here in the Bruce Feldman draft. He's got the first running back off the board is Ashton Jeanty at 10 to the Bears. And he's got two picks later, the kid from North Carolina, Omarion Hampton. So two running backs in the top 12. Would either of you, if you're those teams, snag one of those guys with that early of a pick?
It depends on my needs, and it depends how well –
Well, let's say you need a running back.
If that is a high priority need, then yes. But if it's not, I don't think many teams have that as a high priority need.
Hampton, no. Genty, yes. Right around that range. I think he might be like a 15 to 20 type of guy. Somebody's going to reach for him. Whether it might end up being the Raiders to pair him with Geno Smith. But yeah, he's that type of guy.
The Raiders could use a running back.
Oh, yeah.
They really do need one. So.
Well, they need everything.
So do the Bears. I mean, people made fun of the Lions, and they got Jahmyr Gibbs. If I'm assured of getting a breakaway threat here, an explosive offensive player, I don't see anything wrong with picking a running back. I just don't want Najee Harris at this pick, who's going to average 3.9 yards a carry with a career long of 37 yards. Do you know all the runners from Steelers history
who
have a run longer than that, Bob? We're not going to get into
Please don't say no, Bob. Please just say yes. Nod your head. Move along. We don't have to hear it again.
Najee Davenport is one. Najee Davenport. They drafted a guy in the first round whose longest run was shorter than Najee Davenport's longest run.
I think he's going to have a good year in Los Angeles. I do. I think in that offense, he's going to have a good year.
Depending
on Harbaugh likes
to
run that ball, and I think they'll figure out a way. They have a decent offensive line and a quarterback who's elite, can be.
I'm telling you, have a good year. This kid from North Carolina is pretty freakish. That's what I know about him. He's 220 pounds and runs a 4.640. He's frightening. So I'd be tempted. And Dallas, why not? I say, why not at number 12 take him? And if those guys, if either one of those guys, for some reason, should drop because of the devalued position, I'd be very tempted with the Steelers, Bob.
I don't think it's as devalued as we've been led to believe. I still think you have to have success in the run game, regardless of who you are, to be successful on offense.
I'm not talking about running the football hasn't been devalued. The running back position, which is a different thing, where guys don't make big money and generally don't get taken
in
the first round.
I never agreed with that. I thought those guys should be paid better. They handle the ball more than anyone except the quarterback.
See, I do agree with it because there's too many examples, like almost every single year of teams winning the Super Bowl. This was an exception without an elite running back that they pay.
Right. But I'm
from everywhere.
But those players who did perform in those offenses handled the ball an awful lot and were a big part of their success.
Sure. That's the running game. The running game's important. The point is you don't have to pay one or draft one in the first round.
Then why are you doing it?
Because you get a star. The only way I do it is if I get a star.
And you don't know you're going to get a star. You may get someone who looks good in college but can't handle the program.
Sure, but the only way I would take one in the first round is if I'd be taking a chance on a star.
Yeah, I got you.
Wasn't Najee Harris a star coming out of Alabama too, leaping over people, doing well in the college football playoff? Like, at least in my mind was.
At my mind at the same time. At that time, I thought so. I was wrong, so were they. He's not a star. He's a garden variety running back, and they made a giant mistake.
That's where I just have a little bit of a hesitation. And look, one instance should not defer you from never taking a running back in the first round again. I just think that they need to make sure that they learn from their mistakes and make sure that they're identifying the right type of player that can fit into their scheme as well.
How about make sure the guy has a run longer than 37 yards in college?
That
might be a good benchmark. At 14, Feldman has Tyler Warren lasting until 14. Bob, I think he's a top 5 to 7 talent in the whole draft. If I got him at number 10 or 9, I would be over the moon. He has him going 14 to the Colts.
That would be a good pick to the Colts, I think. And yeah, I agree with you. I think he's a very talented guy. So many directions these teams can go, and you have to know their team better than anyone. I don't know enough about some of the deep needs some of these teams have.
I mean, doesn't every team need a great playmaker on offense?
Yes.
I'd take him way earlier.
But it also helps
that
you have a quarterback and get you to play. That's why in Indianapolis, I'm not sure what they have
there. I mean, that works both ways. He's a guy that if they're still going to go Richardson, he could help Richardson a ton.
Maybe, but Richardson, more so than that, the quarterback has to help the receiver. I don't think it's the other way around. I've seen receivers go to teams that don't have good quarterbacks and get frustrated.
One Big Ten defensive coordinator tells Feldman, Warren went from being a pretty good player to a great college player. He's a great athlete. I'm not saying he's as smooth as Travis Kelce, but he has some of that natural playmaking ability.
And I agree with all of that.
That not a lot of legit tight ends have. Look at Brock Bowers last year. With really no offense, he put up historic numbers. Can you imagine the star he's going to be when he has, if and when he has a quarterback?
He was targeted more than anything because they didn't have anything else. So he got a lot of targets. if in a better offense, you could spread that number around and make everyone better. So Tyler Warren's a tremendous player. I'm not saying it just depends on what you need.
Twinning streak, if the Raiders took this guy at number six and paired him with Brock Bowers, it would be an unbelievable move, wouldn't it?
Bowers is a pretty good comp for Warren. Like, I think that assessment that you read off is pretty accurate. Like, when it was him and Theo Johnson at Penn State, they were really just a balancing act. Warren wasn't able to break out until this past year, where I think he's the best offensive weapon in the entirety of the draft. He might not be as fast as Bowers, but he does a lot of similar things where you can line him up anywhere. You can play. I mean, Warren has thrown passes. They've lined them up in a wildcat formation, and he can run.
Tush push. He's a tush pusher, yes. Bob. Either a pusher or a tusher.
He's an offensive weapon. This game against Ohio State, where Penn State was stopped like twice, four times inside the 5-yard line. I think it was the 3-yard line.
How about the Jets?
Yeah, he'd be a good fit there too. He should be a top 10 pick.
Justin Fields, Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, I think Breece the Jets.
Hall,
could
Tyler
really,
Warren.
Where do they pick?
With Fields.
The Jets.
They pick seventh. Feldman has them taking a right tackle kid from Missouri. All right, Bob. We move on from Tyler Warren, and now we're getting closer and closer to the Steelers in the Bruce Feldman draft. He's got the Bengals taking an edge rusher. Boy, things are getting ugly with Trey Hendrickson. Did you see the comments from Mike? Was it Mike Brown's daughter who said that the other day?
I saw comments. I'm not sure who was the author of those comments.
She basically said, Trey, and I'm paraphrasing, he's setting his sights a little too high here. He should just settle for a different number. And he took great umbrage with that.
I saw that response. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think that's going to be something that resolves itself. Although I thought Myles Garrett was done in Cleveland, too. So never say never in football.
Yeah, if they write
all
the
of
check.
It takes, if right. DK Metcalf, when he first was available, said, I want to go to a team that has a chance of winning, a quarterback in place. So
yes.
It didn't matter. Money speaks louder than anything. We saw that with Myles Garrett. We may see it with Trey Hendrickson.
Denver's very interesting because they're choosing right before the Steelers. They have a franchise quarterback, and the Steelers don't, which is a real gut punch. Because a lot of people thought when the Broncos mortgaged everything for Russell Wilson, it was like, if this doesn't work, that franchise is screwed. Instead, they bring in a new head coach for Russ's last year. He gets rid of him. He comes here.
Broncos country. Let's ride.
They draft Bo Nix against a lot of people's better judgment, and he looks like a kid who can be a star. You can make a case that he was the rookie of the year, even over Daniels. He was so good. And now they have an offensive coach. They have a quarterback. The Steelers have neither. And they're talking about this kid, Matthew Golden. I think you asked us about him in your segment, Limits. He runs a 4.29 40, and he runs 10 yards faster than you can say Mulsey. And he's going to be a star. He's a deep threat. They have him going to the Broncos, Bob. The whole Broncos situation is a real kick.
Maybe the Steelers, if they really like that guy, they can move up a little bit to get him. And, it wouldn't cost that much to do that, because that's not a major jump into the top 10, for example.
Why would you draft a receiver in the first round?
Because if you don't think George Pickens is going to be around, or maybe you can trade George, but I still think that's an incomplete storyline. I still think we don't know for sure. They don't let you on to know, and they shouldn't. They have, they'll talk him up. They'll do what they have to. But if they believe they can get somebody younger, close to where they're drafting, trade him, get some extra picks, then they could do some damage later in the draft.
Twinning streak, what do you think of this kid?
Well, I think that also, just as a side note, if Denver does draft a wide receiver in the first round, that could open up the possibility that Cortland Sutton gets traded, because he's looking for a new contract, and there was rumblings last year about that too. The Steelers have been a possible destination. Don't know if that would happen now.
I don't think so now.
Unless they trade Pickens and then go get Sutton, but that's another conversation.
Still another money, though. I think they'd rather go with a rookie guy who has whatever the contract is, who has a star potential.
I like Golden, especially the speed component, where, look, Metcalf's really fast. He's not just like a burner. Calvin Austin, the jury's still out on him. Golden would be a good fit with the Steelers if they opted to go wide receiver. Him or there's a couple other wide receivers that are right around that market, too.
Egbuka is one, of course, from Ohio State. At 21... The Bruce Feldman draft at 21 for the Steelers. Bruce Feldman is a very smart guy. Jerry Dulac says quarterback, he is ruled out.
He's ruled it out,
Steelers.
Right.
Now, I'll say
Jerry
this.
Say that.
As great as Jerry is at what he does, he also reported a few years back that there was zero chance that the Steelers would take Kenny Pickett in the first round. Sometimes sources can lead one astray for their
own
purposes.
Yeah,
right.
By design.
So he says the Steelers have ruled out a first-round quarterback. Feldman has them taking a man named Jackson Dart from Ole Miss. He says there are legit first-round caliber D linemen here, but I believe the Steelers are intrigued enough by Dart's makeup and physical talent to take him. The 6'2", 223-pounder has played a lot of football and faced some really good defenses. The biggest compliment rival coaches give him is he's as tough as any QB they faced in recent years, they tell me, and that they think he's a good leader because they could see teammates wanting to play for him. He threw up big numbers in the Lane Kiffin offense, leading the nation with an average of 10.8 yards attempt. Bob, you still with me? He cleaned up some of his turnover issues. He hasn't thrown a pick in the red zone in two seasons. That, my friends, is music to Mike Tomlin's ears. However, an SEC defensive coordinator tells Feldman, I do think he's talented. He's got a live arm, he's athletic, but he's very streaky. My biggest question on Dart is that he was just okay when they faced good opponents. They had a lot of talent on that team, and they looked tight whenever the pressure got hot. What make you of all of this, Bob? The Dulac report, the Feldman report, the defensive coordinator's report.
What I know is what I saw in a few games I've seen him. He can light it up, but in a couple of games to that SEC, whoever it was, talked about that Florida game specifically. He looked like indecisive, made bad throws. I don't know about these guys. I do think they need bigger needs. I think they'll draft their quarterback next year. If it's Jackson Dart, I hope you're right, because I can only imagine how much joy it would bring to your life so that the depression talk would end completely. You would walk in there every day. The Dart train would be in tremendous, you know, it's like a bullet train in Japan. They're going at a high rate of speed.
It's the Trubisky train.
There was no doubt about it.
I know, if they draft him and he turns out not to be good, you're going to be having the same Trubisky train, one that left the tracks and crashed.
I know.
I'm still going to think they're going to go defensive line. That's my thought, and it's not going to change.
If we come on the air that Friday, you're off on Fridays, Bob. If we go on following Monday.
Again, part-time Bob, here we go. It doesn't stop.
If we go on the air that following Monday, what do you think you would be saying about the choice of Jackson Dart?
I hope part-time Palm, baby. You know me. I hope it's right. I mean, they have to make this decision be the one that takes them into the next 10 years. They need a franchise quarterback. The problem with it, if you're not 100% sold on him, if you take him and he turns out not to be what you expected, now you're continuing to do this stuff over and over again. It's got to come to an end, whether it's this year or next.
Man, when I saw the red zone number, combined with the fact that they met with him, and I think, are they meeting with him again? Did DeFabo report? I thought he did. Combined with his size, his toughness, he just sounds somebody that Tomlin would be enamored with.
After Kenny Pickett was drafted, everyone start talking the praises about what a leader he was, how he developed in 5 years, how he was making smart decisions, more competitive. Mike Tomlin thought he was one of the most competitive guys.
I know, but I feel
we're saying this stuff because we really don't know. We're guessing on what they would do.
I feel like anybody that comes up in any year now at this part of the draft, we're all going to be suffering from Kenny Pickett derangement syndrome. Like, oh my God, they said this about Pickett. Oh my God, they're reaching. Oh my God. It might be true.
My point
but
is,
it might not be.
They're all very talented in college. But you get up here, it's a whole different dynamic. That's why so many quarterbacks have struggled against all these elite defenses, which don't just have one playmaker. They have 10 to 12 of them all over the field. So you better be good. And a lot of it is predicated on their offensive line. It all works together. But if you can get somebody, and if Jackson Dart's the guy, and he turns out to be the guy, I can only imagine how you're going to be. It will make you one of the happiest people, no matter how many cups of coffee you drink.
Man, you're right about that.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine here, Austin, what he would be like coming in here
every day? This is the guy, Bob. There's a spectacular picture of him. He's got a cockiness about him that I like and a toughness about him and an ability to make something out of nothing. And he hasn't thrown a pick in the red zone in two seasons.
Jackson Dart's been magnificent so far. Throwing this ball towards the end zone. Right on target. Pulled in by Wright.
Yeah, baby!
It's a touchdown.
Dave, you cannot throw it any better than this.
Wow, how about that on ESPN? Is that what we'll get, Bob? Or will we
get this?
Dart looking downfield. He is going to take a shot towards the end zone. No one there but Gators. And it's a pick. Bryce Thornton with
what a
the
year for the Gators, huh? They're intercepting Jackson Dart. They're going to the Final Four in
if
basketball.
If you watched that game, you thought to yourself, what is he doing?
Yeah, like, I know. But sometimes we thought that
sometimes
even
it's
about
on the
Ben.
Receiver. It's on the receiver. You never know internally what goes on.
Ron would always say Bruce Arians told him anytime there's a mix-up, it's 100% the receiver's fault until Kenny Pickett got here, and then Ron changed his story and everything was Pickett's fault. Remember that, Limits?
I entirely remember, yes.
We got into a spat on the air, Ron and I, one day about that.
How many times did you and Ron get into a real spat?
Twice a day.
Were they real?
There were some carryovers.
They were all
that.
People yeah, always yeah. ask me, was that real? Yeah, it was always real. There was nothing that was contrived about Ron and I's animosity.
Like you and Ron wouldn't just go after the show and say, Ron, would you like to go to lunch afterwards?
Oh, no. Everything was done after the show. It was fine. But, Bob, we had some knockdown dragouts in here. It's 104. We have to go. You took us over again.
Oh, I did.